All right. So in and out of the bubble. So this is from John 17. This is Yeshua praying right before he's about to face his last days in Jerusalem. But now I'm coming to you. Yeshua speaking to the Father. I say these words while I am still in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. This is our bubble, right? The presence of God, his joy, his life, his peace, his comfort. All these things that we've been talking about earlier, that's our bubble. And it's good. We need to be in it. It's safe. You're right. But that's not the end of the story. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. It's also important. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Notice he said this three times. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, outside of the bubble. And for their sakes, I make myself holy so that they also may be made holy in truth. So we're sanctified in the bubble, right? But that the purpose of being sanctified is so that we can go out and sanctify more. And we have to go out. Yeshua left the kingdom of heaven to come to earth, knowing that he'd be despised and rejected because he's not of this kingdom. This is not his kingdom. And likewise, he sends us out. And he says, go. Spread the good news of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Sanctify people. Because if we don't, then we know what's going to happen. And that's not acceptable. Next slide. So the fact, you know that outside is not so nice. People like their, you know, this is, we were in Florida. When was this? Not too long ago. And we went to this, one of my wife's friends' places. And everyone lives in a community, at least in Delray and, you know, Boca, that area. They live in a community and they have gates. And it's safe in there. I mean, it's like, it's kind of frighteningly immaculate. You know, like, does anybody do anything in here? But it's nice. Like, wow, you live in here, especially when you have money like they do. Like, this is enjoyable. I like this. But the fact is, this is not real life. So Yeshua says, and again in John 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. It's not enjoyable to be hated. Sure, I get it. One person said, oh, free coffee. And I said, yeah, sure, here, have some. And she looked at the thing, and she just read it, and she said, no, thanks. Walked away. It's not nice. It's not nice. He said, if you were of the world would love you as its own. Right? What if we had a sign that says, God loves you because you're you. Oh, that stuff makes me sick. But it's a... I can't stay like, or like, I would love to share one kid wore, I love kind people. Like, yeah, who doesn't? It's such innocuous stuff, you know? It's like, can I pet your head? Oh, that's nice. It sounds nice, but it's useless. But you are not of the world, since I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. It's like, thanks a lot. Right? But the good news is we do have that bubble. We've been chosen out of the world to live in the presence of God. And the good news is that we can go outside of the bubble, even though it's not a nice place, we have God with us. God's there. And he says further in John 16, Yeshua says, they will do these things because they have never known the Father or me, which is also, and to me, is a word of comfort. Because you're realizing there is, you know, how Yeshua could have forgiven them when he said they don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant. They may seem like they know what's going on. And they have some knowledge. But in actuality, if they really to stand before the presence of God, they realize, I know nothing. They do these things because they don't know who God is. They don't know who Yeshua is. And therefore, they're acting like this. And when we come in his name, they don't know who he is and who we are. doesn't necessarily make it easy, but it helps us give us understanding that when we come up against these hard times, when people are acting weird, or he's like, I'm telling you, God loves you and he wants to be with you and Yeshua paid for all of your sins. Well, thanks for the coffee. Thanks. Like, this is good news. And they don't see it unless the Father reveals it to them. But we can't take it personally. Next slide. So we have to love in and out of the bubble. This is from Matthew 5. Yeshua is saying, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That's the important part. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you only, and I inserted only, because that's the meaning of it. For if you only love those who love you, what reward do you have? That means if you only live in the bubble, what reward is there? Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than anyone else? Even the pagans do that, don't they? Therefore, be perfect. I know that word can scare some people. So the meaning can also, it could be complete or whole or mature, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah, we do need to love each other. Right? We Yeshua told us that. But it can't stop here. It has to go out. We're called to be different. Everybody else is loving just themselves. We have to be different and love those who utterly despise and hate us and are willing to crucify us if we go so far. That's not an easy message. But I say this from experience, and thank God I haven't experienced that yet, but I'm waiting. It's going to happen. But I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm not going to stop. And we have to get outside the bubble and love those who are just walking in ignorance, walking in hatred, walking in hurt. I remember I said to one girl, these girls came up, and she said, oh, free coffee? I said, yep, whatever you like. And she said, what do you guys do? And I said, we're just telling you that God loves you, like a father loves his daughter. And she said, my father left me when I was a baby. I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. I said, I'm sorry. But I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, it's just so hard. People walking in pain. And I've never heard that before. And I'm sorry. You know, they just kind of laugh like it was so awkward. It's hard to hear. And you realize even though the message that to us, like, it, yes, God loves us like a father loves his daughter. Okay, that sounds great to us, but to outside the bubble, it may not. But I would never have guessed that unless I had been out there. Next. The fact is, we're to give unrequited love. This is from Luke. It's a parallel passage to Matthew 5, but in Luke 6, it's a little bit different. I wanted to draw that out. Yeshua says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. We give away free coffee. People say, what's the catch? Like, there's no catch. Really? Yeah. What do I have to sign up for? Nothing. Now, I know it's coffee. I get it. But still, the idea is we have to give and expect nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of Elyon, the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and evil ones. He's still kind to those who never say thank you and who blatantly disregard his will. That's not easy. But that's what we're called to. And so he changes the wording. It's not perfect. He says, be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate to you. And again, it goes back to what we've been talking about earlier, is that how are we compassionate? How do we love those out there who are against the will of God, who hate us, who hate God, who have no idea what they're doing? Because he's been compassionate to us, because he's loved us, because he's forgiven us. Therefore, because it's not from our strength. It's from him. And if we have never received it, never experienced it, yeah, you can't give it. But if you do walk in it and you pursue him and you soak in it, then you can go out there and give it to him. Because at some point in our lives, we were all in the same place as they are. And so when you look back and say, wow, I know what God has done for me and continues to do for me, then you can go minister to people outside the bubble. Next. But here's the thing, is that we have to know them to love them. You know what? God could have said, hey, from heaven, I love you. Did you hear me? I love you. But he didn't do that. I mean, he did through the prophets. And then eventually he said, but here's my proof. And he sent Yeshua. And Shaul writes about this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win over more of them. I'm going to go outside the bubble and serve them. To the Jewish people, I identified as a Jew so that I might win over the Jewish people. And this is not some sort of, I hate this, some Christian understanding of it. Like, oh, you just, whatever people are, that's who you are. Like no, he's saying he's relating to them on their own terms. To those under Torah, I became like one under Torah. That means under the Mosaic covenant, not necessarily under the new covenant. Though not myself being under Torah, so that I might win over those under Torah. To those outside Torah, Gentiles, like one outside Torah, though not being outside God's Torah, but in Messiah's Torah. I can't go into all these details now. So that I might win over those outside Torah. To the weak, I became weak. So this is the clutch, the real part that people say, oh, he's just, you know, ministering to you, be like them, and you can compromise your convictions. That's not true, because Yeshua said, to the weak, I became weak. Yeshua's not weak. And he never became weak. He identified with them in their weakness. And he writes about this in the same chapter. If, you know, if you're or around there, if your food causes people to stumble, don't do it. It doesn't cause him to stumble, but he's being aware of other people's consciences. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means possible, I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the good news, so that I might be a fellow partaker of it. And I was thinking about that. What does that mean? And what I came up with is the bottom. It says, partaking in the good news is identifying with people where they are at. Now, we read this in Philippians during the Elenu, that Yeshua didn't consider being equal to God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, and becoming the likeness of men. He identified us with us as sin, as men who struggle and are slaves to sin, but he didn't sin. He was even immersed in the Jordan by John. Why? To identify with us. That he will walk through everything that we go through, yet he will walk victoriously. And we also read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. He fully identified with us and loved us where we were and walked in victory and complete obedience to the Father. And that's what we're called to do. So that when we go out, we see people and find out, where are you? And I will identify with you in your place, not to compromise, but to be there with them. And to love them where they're at and where they need to be loved and how they need to be loved so that they can be transformed into the image of Yeshua. You don't go out there and say, what you're doing is wrong and this is what you need to do. That's not the gospel. The gospel is going out and saying, I will help heal your wounds because of the power of Yeshua. I'll get dirty because you're dirty. Yeshua let a prostitute clean his feet. He ate with those who were stealing from his own people. That's what we're called to do. Next slide. So some questions to ask so that we can get beyond bubble dome. And these are serious. I really want you to ponder these. How much time do I spend in the bubble and outside the bubble? Why? What interests people, that is, those outside the bubble? Do you know? Brooke and I watched the show on Netflix about Gwyneth Paltrow and her group called Goop, and they went out to Jamaica and they took mushrooms so they could get healing. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. And Brooke said, no, I want to see where what people do. And it was weird. But this is what people do. They're willing to go to a foreign country to take psychedelic mushrooms so they can get healing from therapists who are also on mushrooms. Wow. I'm going to refrain. Daffy Duck's here. The point is, we see that if they're willing to go to mushrooms, you know, how can we then share Yeshua and say, there's someone who can really heal you and you don't have to take mushrooms or leave your home? I mean, but people are willing to go to great lengths to be healed. So then we have a message to give to them. What does the Bible say about these things? What people do? How can you respond, speak the truth in love, yet based on Scripture? Where are people? What are they looking for? We met a Muslim girl in GW, and she's like, I said, God loves you. And she said, I know. I said, yeah, how do you know? She goes, I'm Muslim. I said, okay. So what? And she's like, well, we learn about God. I said, and where are you now? Well, I'm searching. I said, good. And she said, you know, it's funny that we believe in Jesus. And she said, I know we do too. I said, uh-huh. And I know it's a little different from you guys, right? And said, but it's always intrigued me that the Christians have their ideas and Jews have their ideas and Muslims have their ideas. And he really intrigues me. I said, wow, that's pretty neat. She's really searching. So I gave her a book that talked about Jews and Palestinians who meet Jesus. She said, great, thanks. We prayed for her search for truth. But we could see where she was. If I said to her, you know, Islam is wrong, you need to believe in Jesus, that would have accomplished nothing. But finding out where she is and then meeting her there with truth and praying for her. How can I love people where they're at? What questions are people asking? That's important. You can even just start with the political system. What are people hungry for? I mean, one of the things you can look for is that a lot of people want the government to take care of them. We could say, yeah, there is a government that takes care of you. It's called the kingdom of God. And guess what? This king's been doing it for a long time, and he's really good at it. And he won't increase your taxes. I mean, you do have to give up your life, but you get it back. And also consider, this is something I learned as a teacher. What do we call it? Possible misconceptions. What potential issues might you encounter, or problems, or responses, to anticipate them even before they happen? How can you respond to those? And then ultimately, how can you relate? Because this is a big part. It says nobody can take this from you or argue with you. How can you relate from your time walking with the Lord before Him, times you may have, you know, walked away a little bit? How can you then relate to that person? You know, and I said to that girl who, she said, my dad left me as a baby. And I told my wife, and she said, my parents divorced when I was 6. So I could say, yeah, I wasn't a baby, but I know what it's like when your family's broken apart. And it's not fun, but there's healing in God. So I'm learning too. I'm saying all this because it's an exciting mission. You know, it's a little bit of scared, you know, a little scared. But then any good mission, any adventure requires some fear. But you say, I'm going to beat it and I'm going to go over it because of the power of God. That we're victorious in Him. We don't just survive. We're victorious. And so this bubble here, this is good. We need to build each other up and love each other. But knowing that we're also sent by Yeshua to go out and to minister and then come back, be built up, be encouraged, be refreshed, then go out. And then come back and testify, help each other, strengthen each other, equip each other, and then to go out. And you get beat up, well, you're in good company because they crucified Yeshua. But guess what? Didn't keep him down. So we have that guarantee. This was good. This helped me. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory and honor. We pray for your strength. We pray for your grace. We pray for boldness. We pray for more of your love. and more of your spirit, Lord, that we go out and minister to people where they're hurting, and to love them, to minister to them, and to heal them in the powerful name of Yeshua that heals all of our diseases and gives us everything that we need, that we have life abundantly in Him. All that we need is in Him. Fill us up, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen.